Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
They say that size doesn't matter, but we all know that's a lie. Size always matters when you're talking about trucks or that steak that you ate last night. Don't fall for those cheap gimmicks or stupid commercials. You want to increase your size, do it the old-fashioned way. Get yourself some man tires. That's right, man tires. A good set of man tires can change any wussy wagon into a respectable man-mobile in minutes. Just visit mymantires.com and see what you've been missing. That's mymantires.com. Men, the time is now. Log on to mymantires.com and tell them you want some of them man tires. Man tires, the original male enhancement. Available now, only on mymantires.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
In thrust, we trust. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
Hi, and welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. Today is Tuesday, August 9th, 2011, and I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and I want to welcome everyone back to the show this week. This is our first show after our summer break, and we're really glad to have you all here. We got a lot of folks listening live, and for those of you that are listening to the podcast, hope you can tune in live next time and catch the show. Our first guest this season, which I think is a really good first guest to have, is Dan Brett. He's the owner of Williams Brothers Model Products, and I'll let Dan, you know, talk more about this, but, you know, Dan took over the company, has really been doing a bang-up job bringing it back. Welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show, Dan.
Hi, Mike.
We sure are glad you could join us tonight. I tell you what, why don't you tell us a little bit about Williams Brothers Model Products, the company's history, and how you took over. Kind of let everybody, give everybody a brief background.
Okay, they basically founded the company in 1960, original Williams brothers, Larry and Granger, and they ran it successfully till they passed away in about 2000, within about 3 months of each other. And then by 2004, the company was struggling with Granger's wife at the helm, and she was getting fairly elderly, and they had to let it go. So I was just trying to buy a pair of wheels for my BK triplane, and I ended up with the whole company, and it's been a challenge ever since to, get the molds kind of back together and working and all the product back up and running. So that's kind of been our biggest objective and goal, is just get this thing all back together the way it was.
Yeah, well, it seems like you're doing a really good job at that. I'm glad that someone with your enthusiasm took the company over. You know, Williams Brothers has been around a really long time and is well known in the hobby, obviously, for their wheels and plastic models and engine kits. You want to tell people a little bit maybe about your basic product lines?
Yes, of course, the Pilots is probably one of the best known, because Williams Brothers' little Pilot bust has been in most any airplane and every airplane since their creation. That was kind of a big signature product for Williams Brothers. Then the World War I machine guns, like the Vickers and the Spandau and the Lewis and the Parabellum, they started making it 1/6 scale, and then they came out with the quarter scale Vickers and Spandau. I'm hoping to expand the line at some point here. The wheels, they've pretty much relegated themselves to supporting aircraft from World War I or even Pioneer Aviation up through the 1930s with their wheel line. given the vintage wheel, which imitates a spoked wheel with fabric covers, mm-hmm. the Golden Age, which is a metal cover, kind of 1930-ish, and the smooth contour and the balloon wheels, which are all modeled after actual wheels from the 20s and 30s. And then the last thing that they're also kind of signature known for is their engine cylinders and engine kits. So the about 12 scale, the quarter scale, there's the Pratt & Whitney WASP cylinders, and then there's the Wright J5 cylinders. And we do make a few of the Lerone rotary engine cylinders. And later in their business, they created some crankcases. So the Pratt & Whitney WASP does from 12 scale through quarter scale. We do have a dummy engine available that's for flying models. Hmm. And that's probably the big lineup of their RC products. And on the other side, they did make a short line of, you know, in the same golden age of aviation, model airplane kits in the 32nd scale and 48th and 72nd scale of famous first, primarily Cleveland Air Racers and such, and other planes that were big in their day that they remembered and they felt like they deserved to be a model.
I got you. Well, you know, that's really cool, especially about the dummy engines. I don't know if a lot of people know that you guys make those. I'll tell you what, before we continue, let me tell folks how they can get in touch with us here. If you'd like to give us a call and join in on the conversation, you can call us at 478-787-4768. Or if you have Skype, you can simply Skype us at Warbird Radio. That's all one word. You can also email us at live, L-I-V-E, at rcscalebuilder.com. Or if you're listening to Warbird Radio right now live, right below the Listen Live button, you'll see a Join Our Chat, our live chat. You can click on that and ask your questions interactively while we're having the show. Well, moving on, Dan, you know, let's get back to talking about, you know, bringing the company forward and moving it forward with new products and so forth. Can you kind of give us some ideas about what you've recently been working on or what you got in the works?
The latest big project that we're working towards is going into the 1/3 scale vintage wheels for the basically based on a British Palmer wheel and a Fokker style wheel, so they end up being about the same size. And the whole gambit of this third scale, I mean, we hear it all the time, and we're like, we need to break into this third scale, and one of the biggest things we've heard a cry for is wheels. So we took it upon ourselves to figure out how we're going to do it, and my worker employee Lisa here, great lady she is, instigated getting a pre-buy-in. So some of the guys have pre-bought into wheels, which, man, I can't thank those guys enough, got us launched on the project, you know, way earlier than I ever thought we could. So we've actually got parts out there trying to get made, but we have run into some issues with the little oil boom going on in Texas. Seems it's got all the machine shops pretty much tied up doing parts for those people. So production run and, you know, parts that they, you know, you got a company out there that pays too much and wants it yesterday, everybody listens. So our project got kind of shoved aside to the point that we ended up with a half-built mold and the machine shop saying, oh, we just can't do this at the moment. So yeah. I searched around and found another place that, you know, specializes in doing one-offs, and hopefully he'll start cutting metal on Thursday this week. Is what he's telling me. He's got a brand new machine in with no business lined up on it. So I said, great. And we're in there. And he's a real nice guy. We'll see what he does. If he's you know, true to his word and everything works out well, then we'll have the tire done probably within a day. He's saying it should take about a day for the machine to cut it.
Wow.
And then we'll move on to getting those hubs made. And, boy, I tell you, it feels so much better when we got those in hand.
Yeah, I bet. Now, you know, we were talking last time we spoke at length. You were telling me about another new project you guys are working on and are about to release. And we want to announce that on the show tonight. Why don't you tell folks what you were telling me?
Yeah, I figured I'd let rcscalebuilder.com be the launch pad for a product I've been working on for a couple of years, actually, with DB Sport and Scale in the UK. They make a kit of a Spitfire model in about one, a little smaller than 1/5 scale. And they had a wheel, and they said that their hub mold was fine, and they hated their foam tire. And basically, he worked a deal out with me where I would get his mold for the hub, and if we would come up with a mold for a tire, which was quite a challenge considering it's a tire with treads, and we're trying to injection it and have the mold open and, you know, not get hung up. So it was a good project, you know, strain the brain project. And as of this week, I mean, we're ready. So I'd like to announce that we're making about a 4¾-inch. We call it a Spitfire tire. It's got the four-spoked, I'd call it a standoff scale hub with a Williams Brothers rubber tire, hollow, stuffed with foam. I did some weigh scales on it. A pair of these could easily hold a 30-pound model.
Oh, wow.
But it's, very robust.
Yeah.
It's a lot better than I thought. And we really, really don't weigh that much. So it's looking like it's actually... I think we just sold our first pair today. A guy just called in asking about his third scale wheels, and Lisa mentioned that, you know, we had a Spitfire wheel we were just getting ready to release. And he jumped all over it for his P40, so I'm like, well, that's good. At least now we know, you know, the size might be usable for other things.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's great news. You know, you can never have enough around 5-inch wheels. Those get used a lot in this hobby, so... I'm sure that'll be a good market. Do you plan on moving Williams Brothers into that World War II area some?
Yeah, I think we have to. I mean, analyzing the company, it's really a struggle to make it on the existing product line. And I do always, you know, have to be aware that we compete with ourselves on the used market, as well as popularity of the subject matter. You know, this 20s, 30s is not maybe even when we hit the 20s, 30s, and 40s. It might get popular again, 100-year anniversaries, but marketing says that World War II is like 75% of the market, and the World War I and Golden Age is like 2%. So for us to survive and grow and be able to do more, we definitely need new products. And then I see maybe, I don't know how big, I don't want to get off him, my gut says I don't want to go into something too big, but I think supporting some of the, you know, 8 scale up through 6 scale World War II would probably be a good target range. Because even still in our World War I guns and wheels, 1/6 scale is our number one seller still. So we still have to look at, you know, where do people are that may not go to contest, but there's a lot of them out there that just like to fly for the fun of it, you know, where they're based in. What kind of planes they like to build.
Sure. Well, you know, we got a question in from our chat room from Danny, and he wants to know if you have any plans on making World War II machine guns for planes like P-40s, B-25s, etc.
Yeah, the 30 caliber, 50 caliber, we've been looking at that. That's a challenge. I mean, there's a couple ways to look. I mean, a lot of guys had wing guns, and it depends on if they want just the barrel that sticks out of the wing or they still want the entire gun. But for sure, I want to look at that also as another avenue. I don't think it'd be that difficult for us to get into once we learn the mold-making process a little more. We've got a project for a Lewis gun in quarter scale we're trying to work on the side, get that drawn up. If we get it drawn up, then we can start quoting it out or figuring out, you know, again, how we get the mold made.
Gotcha.
And that's our first, you could say, detailed model dive into the mold-making world. There's a lot of parts, and still not as bad as, you know, a wheel is, you know, one tire and one hub. You go into the machine gun, it's like there's quite a few, you know, you got like 10 or 12 parts or something along that line.
Right.
So it's definitely another challenge we want to break into.
Well, good deal. Well, looks like we got a caller on the line. Good evening, caller. You're on the air. What's your question for Dan Brett?
Hey, good evening, Mike. This is Chris Spees from South Carolina. How are you?
Hey, Chris. Doing great. How about you, pal?
Good, good. Hey, quick one for Dan. I was looking on his website for the scale wheels, the balloon style, and I was wondering if you can... I think you addressed it a little bit, but I was looking for, instead of this, a smooth tread, having a tread like you'd have on a Messerschmitt like BF-109, where you have kind of cross marks across the tread rather than just a smooth tread.
Yeah, another one that's been hiding behind that Spitfire right now.
I didn't know if you could mold them that way or if you can suggest how to, I don't know if you could just use like a soldering iron and cut into the tread, or would that run the tire if you tried to do that, you know, try to make the marks going across the width of the tire?
Yeah, that'd be a little tough to do, especially freehand. There's not a lot we can do at the moment, but for sure, that's another project I've already started a little bit of work on. We've got the research data for it. For me, as a mold, injection molder, the mold is great. The way the tread runs, that's perfect to the way the mold's going to open.
Okay.
So I like that, but the machinists hate it because they, you know, they can lathe in a tread on a wheel, but as soon as you turn that tread 90 degrees, they all start, you know, kind of scringing.
Right.
So it becomes a challenge on their side, but it's not impossible. You know, it's something that can be done. So I've been looking at that one as, you know, depending on how this Spitfire wheel does, it's kind
right.
of, yeah. Since the mold was already done for the hub and we had the tire made, I wanted to see what kind of response we'd get. And if it looks, you know, good and positive, then yeah, I want to dive right forward into that Messerschmitt wheel and see what comes out from there.
Okay, that sounds good. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call, Chris. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I've had a lot of calls on German wheels, and
yeah.
A lot of guys buy our balloon and smooth contour wheels and even Golden Age wheels as substitutes. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, you just feel like, gee, I need to be selling the right thing.
I understand. It's like everybody needs something different. You just have to pick which one you want to do, you know. So,
right.
Folks, once again, if you'd like to join in on the conversation, you can get in touch with us several different ways. You can call us at 478-787-4768. Or if you have Skype, which is a free program, you can Skype us at Warbird Radio from anywhere in the world, as a matter of fact. Or you can email us at live@rcscalebuilder.com. Or the absolute best way right now is if you're on Warbird Radio listening right now, click on the Join Our Live Chat, and you can just ask your questions interactively during the show. Well, you know, you kind of gave us a hint, Dan, at some of your possible future products. Are there any other things that you've been considering, seriously?
Not too much at the moment. I mean, it's kind of way out in left field at the moment. I've had some particular people bothering me about pilots,
mm-hmm.
Wanting larger pilots, of course, for the third scale, and then full body pilots. It's hard to beat an injection molded part for weight.
Yeah.
So I can understand. And then, of course, it's rigid, which makes it nice to paint. So that's something that we've been kicking around, and again, that dives into my future of one day we got to become the machine shop of getting into this rapid prototyping, being able to scan and maybe even grow a mold. That's really, that 3D printing stuff is starting to come on the horizon, which is been great for making mold patterns, I guess, but now they're actually starting to make molds from it. So
yeah.
I'm heavily interested in that. And along the same lines of 3D printing, you know, as an injection mold shop, it worries you because maybe one day we'll all have a printer on our desk and, oh, I need that machine gun. Let me just get a file and print it. I think the day is coming, you know, probably within the next, it could be the next 10 years or so. But until that time, you know, I got to, you know, look carefully at what we can do and see if, you know, what we can pull out.
Yeah.
Large scale cylinders is another one. Third scale, Lerone's been asked for quite a bit. haven't had any of the, you know, the Wasp cylinders and stuff really requested. I think third scale gets extremely large in the World War II planes, but
right.
What we have so far seems to suffice.
Yeah.
So that's about where I'm at right now.
I got you. Well, you know, that's interesting. You know, how you have to constantly be looking at the market. I know, you know, I can speak and say, I think with pretty good confidence that in the World War II range, 6th scale to 1/4 scale is obviously the preferred, you know, size most people fly these days. But you know, that's quite interesting. I think that'd be a good market for you guys. I can't see how you can go wrong with that with the offerings that are out there right now, you know. Which are not a lot. So.
Yeah, we really hope that, you know, if we put a few steps in that direction, it'll, you know, make the company even more secure, that it's going to survive and grow, and at least put us on the map to say, yeah, we're, you know, getting our capability. You know, we've got the capability. The, you know, I had to learn injection molding, what that was all about. You know, we can shoot parts, and we got the capability of mold repair, so we finally got to where we're able to fix molds, and, you know, got a lot of experience in that. I fixed about 138 of them. And now we're stepping into that world of, can we make a mold? And I think the only way you really win that game is if you're able to make them fast and get parts coming out, as you know, from start to finish as quickly as possible. So these first stages are painful, but it's the growing part of it, of getting your process figured out. And then from there, you streamline and groom and grow and get it to where it becomes a, hey, make me this, and boom, you know, a month later, there it is.
Right.
Cute parts. That'd be lovely.
Yeah. Boy, it's quite a task to get from here to there, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I hear you.
I think it's possible.
But, well, hey, you know, let's get off the business subject a little bit. We've got a very important question in the chat room from Jeff in Illinois. He wants to know what you're building or flying right now.
Oh, I just finished making a 1/6 scale Fokker E3 with actual full flying tail and wing warp. And then I made it true to scale as far as the landing gear operation and such. And I put it in a 46-4 cycle on it, and I just test flew it a few weeks ago when we actually had a windless day, and oh my goodness, it flies nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I'm ready for my down patrols now. I've flown it about 3 times now. We've had a lot of trouble with wind this year, as well as the heat.
Yeah.
And I find a good morning, I take it out, try it again, and it flies really well. So I'm really happy that, my gosh, I can actually design a plane and it actually flies.
Well, you know, I expect to see some pictures on RC Scale Builder of that plane.
Yeah, I think I'll probably be ready to put some up there here real quick.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. That's, you know, that's important. Well, look, I want to thank you, Dan, for coming on the show tonight and answering my questions and everyone else's questions about Williams Brothers. Folks, if you want to get in touch with Dan, you can simply go to WilliamsBrothersModelProducts.com and check out their site, the phone numbers there, email addresses there if you have any further questions. And, Dan, I hope you'll come back on the show again and give us another update maybe in the near future.
Oh, yes, that'd be fine. Hopefully I can come back and say we got a 3rd scale vintage wheel at some point. That'd make me happy.
Well, I'll make a deal with you. When that's ready, you shoot me an email and we'll get you on the show. How about that?
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay. All right, pal. Well, look, thanks again for coming on the show. And folks, stick around. We're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, our good friend Dino DiGiorgio is going to be on with his scale competition segment. So stick around. We'll be right back after these messages.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com. They say that size doesn't matter, but we all know that's a lie. Size always matters when you're talking about trucks or that steak that you ate last night. Don't fall for those cheap gimmicks or stupid commercials. If you want to increase your size, do it the old-fashioned way.
get yourself some man tires. That's right, man tires. A good set of man tires can change any wussy wagon into a respectable man-mobile in minutes. Just visit MyManTires.com and see what you've been missing. That's MyManTires.com. Men, the time is now. Log on to MyManTires.com and tell them you want some of them man tires. Man Tires, the original male enhancement. Available now, only on MyManTires.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
In thrust, we trust. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
And welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and dang it, I'm glad you're listening tonight, because this is our first show back after summer break. And, you know, here in the South, it has been sweltering hot, and today is kind of the first day here that it wasn't like 100 degrees. So it kind of has a tinge of, I'm not going to say fall, but maybe pre-fall on the way. So everybody's starting to think a little bit about their projects this year. So, you know, we're gonna do something about that on the show in the future. So be thinking about what you're going to build this year. I want to thank Dan Brett for coming on from Williams Brothers Model Products. Such a nice guy. If you have any questions or issues with his products, feel free to contact him. He's more than willing to help you. And speaking of nice guys, I want to welcome one of my good personal friends and a friend of this show and a friend of the site and everybody's friend, Dino DiGiorgio. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Mike.
You doing okay tonight?
I'm doing good, yeah. I don't know who paid you off to say that. I know it wasn't me.
Well, Kim.
Maybe it was Burley.
Kim PayPal'd me $20 and said to really build you up.
Hey, $20 goes a long way these days.
That's right. Well, you know, I'm really excited about having you here tonight. And for those of you that don't know, Dino is going to start doing a monthly segment on scale competition for the show. So he'll be coming on and talking about, you know, 10 minutes or so about a particular aspect of competition. And if you have any questions, of course, you know, you can shoot us an email at live@rcscalebuilder.com about competition. I'll be sure Dino gets that for his next segment. Or if you're in the chat room, you can actually shoot a question up right there, and we'll try and answer it if we have time.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of what the
Well, I think we're losing him. He's kind of fading in and out on us.
Yeah.
There you are. Are you back now?
I'm here, yeah. Well, that's, you know, our cell phone technology.
Well, you know, I told you earlier today you needed to sit on top of the roof during the show.
I guess. Well, hopefully I'll be able to stick it through.
Well, look, I'm going to get out of the way and let you do your thing now, so fire away, pal.
Well, I mean, we're talking about competitions, and of course the first thing that you talk about is, you know, well, what am I going to compete with? So I figured that, you know, picking an aircraft would be a good way to start. You know, basically, it's quite simple. There's, you know, I mean, you pick something that you're comfortable with. You know, a lot of guys talk about, well, what plane? Well, I mean, there's controversy whether it being a light aircraft, a heavy aircraft, big, small, civilian, military. And quite honestly, I don't think it matters. I think that it's just basically what you're comfortable with. And I mean, I like all. So I like civilian. I like World War II. Those are my favorites. So I'm gonna stick to those. I mean, you pick something that you like, and you rule with that, and you practice. You practice routine. You pick a routine out. And through the years that I've been competing at Top Gun and competing, I've changed my routines numerous times. I mean, I look back through my calling cards and and through my scores dating back to 1992. And I mean, my first score at Top Gun 92, my first round was a 65. You know, of course, that would probably be the jitters of ever competing at Top Gun. And I'm looking also to get somebody onto the show to talk about their first experience besides always talking about mine. It's always nice to hear another view. But back to the subject about aircraft, like I said, I really don't think it matters. I think that if you pick an airplane that you know and you fly well, stick to that. And through the years, I mean, we're talking about beginners. We're not talking about competitors that have been doing it for, you know, 20-plus years who are comfortable flying anything. So, but as far as a beginner goes, like I said, picking an aircraft that you're comfortable with, I really know the way of putting it. And when you're doing your routines, you know, make up a list of your maneuvers and you practice them. And if, you know, you have somebody with you, if you're not comfortable with doing it, pick something else. You know, regarding Top Gun, there's a rule book, so you need to stick to the rules and the guidelines of that rule book, and you need to stick to something prototypical of whatever aircraft you're picking. That's very important. Practicing is key. Get the feel of the airplane, you know, getting comfortable with it, and that's really it. I mean, you know, as far as aircraft goes, pick something simple. I mean, you know, some of the aircraft,
Dino's cutting in and out on us a little bit, so hopefully we can get him back here in just 1 second. Let's see, we got a couple of questions in the chat room. Let's see, I've heard Top Gun is by invitation only. Is this true? If so, how would someone like me in Europe get himself invited? Well, that's a good question. basically, I can actually answer this one for you, Danny. All you have to do is contact Frank Tiano. You can email him. Maybe send him a picture of the airplane that you're interested in competing with and tell him a little bit about your experience flying models. And more than likely, you'll get an invite. Let's try and call Dino back, see if we can get him back on the line here.
I'm back.
Okay, no problem.
I relocated to a roof.
What we'll do is we'll get you on Skype before the next one. How about that?
That sounds good.
Yeah, okay. So I'm sorry. I answered a question for you about how to get invited to Top Gun, and I explained to him how to do that. So, but go ahead and continue on with your discussion. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So, you know, practicing is key. Mm-hmm. You know, I personally, so I've been competing for, you know, 20 plus years. I don't practice as much as I'd like to. I think it's very important when you're fresh and getting into competition. Like I said, but there's so many airplanes out there, to compete with. And you know, Top Gun is a great place to do it. You got Pro-Am Am. There's a bunch of great guys there who are willing to help out. And, you know, as far as the subject of picking an aircraft, I don't know what else to talk about. I think that, you know, the guys who are going to get ready into competition already have an airplane in mind that they've been either flying already or have been looking at, you know, RC Scale Builder for ideas. And I think that's a great place to do it. And, and just work at it and just keep working at it.
You know, that's a good point. Another quick Top Gun question for you, which I know the answer to this, but you're the expert, so I'm going to let you answer it. Our buddy G wants to know, where can he get a copy of the Top Gun rulebook?
Very simple. Go to www.franktiano.com, and that's FranktiAno.com. And click on Top Gun, and in the left-hand corner, there will be a revised rule book. Frank puts if there's any revisions before Top Gun, like the latest will be out now, and it's posted, and you can download it. I think it's a PDF file.
Gotcha. That's super.
Right. Now, you know, when you look at that rule book, it may be confusing, and, you know, It's sometimes confusing to me, but you know, the basics are always the basics. You have 10 maneuvers, and you pick those 10 maneuvers. Now, we're talking about flying, okay, which is Pro-Am Pro or Pro-Am Am. When you're talking about, you know, getting into static judging and all that, I've got a great guy who I'd like to put on the show for that. That'll be, you know, another segment.
Super.
But, yeah, but as far as flying goes, yeah, Frank's got the latest out there. And it's really not as hard as it seems. It's just, you know, it's just practice. It's just really going over the maneuvers and, you know, five mandatory, five optional, and, you know, changing it to whatever, you know, fits suits. So,
mm-hmm. You know, something you and I discussed, which today actually, which I think is important to bring up too, is make sure your airplane's trimmed out correctly before you start practicing.
Well, yeah, I agree to that. And, you know, most of us, you know, hope that we have our airplanes trimmed out. A lot of things can happen traveling, preparing the airplane, looking over the airplane, getting a couple of practice flights in before competition, even at the event, is always a good thing. I always get there a couple of days early, you know, because stuff happens. And, you know, you never want to go into the first round without having a trim flight. Now, even during your competition, you know, your maneuvers are judged by when you call your maneuver. Takeoff beginning now. Once you say beginning now, you're being watched, you're being judged. When you say maneuver complete, that's when the judges stop looking at the aircraft for a second. They judge your maneuver. Now, they're going to keep continuing to watch your flight and to watch your, you know, the way the plane is flown prototypical during that flight. However, if you're out of trim, you can tell the judges, I'd like to make a trim pass. There's nothing wrong with that. Just say, you know, judges, next pass will be a trim pass. Just like to get the aircraft trimmed because, you know, you have some adverse conditions at Top Gun. There's a lot of crosswind conditions that are typically there, and you may need to trim accordingly.
Yep, that's a good point. Good point. Great advice too. One other quick question we have here from Jeff in Illinois. He wants to know if you can explain the way one progresses through scale competitions. Do you usually start at local then regional, or can you just jump right into the big ones?
Well, I tell you what. I mean, you know, I would say, like I said, practice at your local club. You don't need to go into a competition firsthand. I would get used to the airplane, but to answer his question, I mean, after you've done that and you've prepped with a friend and you feel comfortable with, you know, speaking, you know, a lot of guys think that I can do the competition, I'm a great flyer, and they may very well be. But when it comes time to get standing up with two judges and you're at Top Gun and you've got three other airplanes flying and you're new to it, the pressure builds. You may think mentally you're prepared, but then you get up there and you're like, my first, you know, so, not just practicing your flying when you're at home, but practice the way you're going to present the words to the judges and get used to doing that and get used to an emergency situation, you know, like if an engine failure. If an engine failure happens, I don't blow that maneuver. I say, you know, I'm calling an emergency landing. Pilot, you know, the engine has quit. And I'm going to make an emergency landing. And they'll judge that. I've gotten very good scores on emergency landings with a wheel not working, you know, where you wouldn't blow the whole maneuver. They'll downgrade to the problem that you might have. But, you know, emergencies always happen at Top Gun. But getting into competition itself, I would, you know, AMA is the Academy of Model Aeronautics. It's a great website. You can look for a local contest in there throughout the months. And, you know, RC Skill Builder has a link to look up events as well. And, you know, I would, you know, make a post on RC Skill Builder. That'd be great. I mean, if somebody's interested and, you know, maybe somebody else would know when an event is coming up. PJ Ash has myrcevents.com, another great place to look up for events.
Absolutely.
But Top Gun, real quick, Top Gun is, is Pro-Am Amateur. It's designed for the first guys to compete. Mm-hmm. So you really, I mean, if you're in the area, if you really want to go to Top Gun, you think you're ready to go, go for it. Give Frank a call, send him an email saying I'd like to enter my first time competition. Let him know what you're flying. And, you know, more than likely, he'll set you up a spot.
There you go. There you go. It's that simple. You know, and the thing, the point you made about pressure is really correct. First one I ever flew in, I mean, it was a totally different, I thought I had myself totally psyched for it. And it was just, you know, it was a train wreck, the first one, but everybody goes through that, you know.
And, oh, yeah. It's overwhelming at times.
Yep, yep. So any local contest that you can attend, I would think would be helpful, you know, in my opinion. But you know, you're right. You know, that's why Frank created that class, to bring new people into scale competition. And it's been working, you know, it works. So, Dino, I want to thank you for coming on tonight, buddy.
No problem. Glad to be back.
Yeah. Hey, no problem. One other quick question that Danny had was, will I get points if I crash the plane lifelike? But we'll save that for next time. How about that?
Let's stay away from that, Danny.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But look, thanks for coming on the show, bud. And we will see you back in about 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks. And
sounds good.
And we'll have another segment. Thanks again for coming on the show, and talk to you soon.
All right, take care, everybody.
All right. Hi, folks, that was Dino DiGiorgio, and coming on and doing his first segment on competition, which I think is going to be really, really, really a good segment, not only for people who compete, but, you know, so many people have this aura that you know, competition is a bad thing, but, you know, that's some of the best fun you can have, because everyone there is helpful and they help each other. And, you know, it's fun, but, you know, there is a little bit of competition, but, you know, everybody's there to have fun. And there's a lot of great contests all over the country, including Top Gun, that you can hone your skills in competing at. So be sure and check that out. A couple of quick things to cover. Got some site news for you. Let me see here. I want to thank everybody who has submitted images of their flying aircraft. I'm in the process of getting all those pictures sized correctly and cropping them to really look nice. And we're going to put them on a new image rotator on the homepage that will allow you to click on that picture and you'll be able to see the full size image. So, and it'll have the information about what plane it is and who the builder is. So, you know, we should be bringing that online in the next 30 days. Another interesting thing, we're reworking the tutorial section. I'm hoping to have 6 to 8 new tutorials up over the next month or so. We've got one new one up, Sweeper. Our buddy Goran actually did a great little tutorial on creating custom fuel tanks, how to make your own. So be sure and check that out in the tutorial section. Let's see. For you mobile users, we've fixed the editor to where the uploaded images work correctly now for mobile users. So a lot of little things, but, you know, we're trying to hone the site and make everything better a little bit at a time. But that's about it. Another interesting thing we got coming up, Chad Veach is we're working out the details on this to get him up, but we're going, for site supporters, we're going to be offering his Hellcat plans for free to all site supporters. You'll be able to download those from the site supporter download section. So be sure and check that out too. And that should be happening, I'd say, in the next 30 days or so. Upcoming events. We've got Warbirds over Tulsa, September 9th through 11th. Warbirds over South Carolina, September 9th through 10th. Warbirds over the Rockies, that's a big one, September 23rd through 25th in Fort Collins, Colorado. Best of the West Jet Rally, that's a mouthful, September 29th through October 2nd in Buttonwillow, California. That's always a great event with lots of beautiful airplanes. Sodbusters Fall Warbird Fly-In, September 30th through October 1st in Camden, South Carolina. And the Rally of Eagles, which is normally held down in Navarre Beach, Florida, has been moved up to Mac Hodges in Andersonville, Georgia. That's October 7th through the 9th. And I'll post links to all these events in the episode guide on Warbird Radio. I'm sorry, on rcscalebuilder.com. And so you can check them out. But be sure and check out myrcevents.com for fly-ins and contests in your area. And it's a great site. PJ, like Dino was saying, PJ Ash runs that, and it's a great resource. One other quick thing before we wrap up and get out of here. Recommended site of the week, it's called the Military Aircraft Markings page. And this is actually an index of a lot of websites that offer marking information on various types of various countries and various types of aircraft. And I'll also post that in the episode thread on RC Scale Builder. And last but not least, let's see, if you have any questions or comments about the show, don't hesitate to email us at live, L-I-V-E, at rcscalebuilder.com. I cannot tell you guys how nice it is to be back. And we got a bunch of great shows coming up. Some good, really interesting guests. So be sure and tune in live on Tuesday nights if you can. I guess that's going to wrap it up for tonight. I want to thank everybody in the chat room for participating, and thank you all for listening live. And thanks to Chris for calling in, and thank you to our guest, Dan Brett and Dino DiGiorgio. But most of all, I want to thank all you guys who support the site and participate and contribute. You're number one in Mike Chilson's book, for what that's worth. But you guys have a good one, and that's going to wrap it up for this episode. And we'll be back next week with another great interview and more information on what's going on in RC Scale. So be sure and check us out then, and be sure and listen to more great programming here on Warbird Radio. Fantastic station, by the way. And until next time, that's going to do it. Be sure and measure twice and cut once. Good night. She makes the Indy 500 look like a Roman chariot face, but today's now you look like an ace. A lot of guys try to catch her, but she leaves them on a wild goose chase. Drive like an ace, drive like an ace. She'll have fun, 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 till her daddy takes a T-bird away. For more information on rcscalebuilder.com, just find them online there at rcscalebuilder.com. You can also send Mike Chilson an email via there as well. And of course, stay tuned here for more programming on Warbird Radio later tonight. If you have not checked out the Smithsonian series that we have up and available, you can do so just by logging on to warbirdradio.com and check out all three episodes of the Centennial of Naval Aviation Celebration, courtesy of our friends at the Smithsonian. Thanks for listening tonight, and we'll talk to you next week, same time, same channel, for more of the RC Scale Builder Show.